So our message from the book of Joel for this 10 days of awe, this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is Joel chapter 1, weep, wail, lament, mourn, groan, and cry. Well, that sounds like a great encouraging message, right? You can't wait to hear that, right? So anyway, this is the theme, and as we've been looking, starting with Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be looking at the book of Joel. For Rosh Hashanah, tonight, the 10 days of awe, this Shabbat Teshuvah, this Sabbath of repentance in the midst between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then on Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. It's like the book of Joel was written specifically for this time period. So starting in verse 1, that chapter 1, Joel chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Now, we're not exactly sure, the commentators are not exactly sure when Joel wrote. He doesn't give us a specific time. He doesn't attach himself to any specific king. But it is generally believed that it was before the Babylonian invasion. Babylon is not mentioned by name specifically. It does say attack from the north and army from the north, and that might be a reference to Babylon. It does mention some other nations. And so it might have been during the time of, there were several sieges that Babylon brought, and so it might have been during those or sometime just prior to that. And so he mentions a time is coming that such as, you know, anyone ever heard of anything like this? Anyone has ever heard anything in our days, or even in the days prior to us? And that's kind of like in the last days, a time of trouble, such as the world has never seen. And so he's speaking specifically to his time, but I believe also prophetically for our time, the last days of Earth's history that we're going to experience. They experienced something that was unheard of for them and prior, and we're going to experience something that no one ever in history has experienced it. And then it'll be told throughout eternity what God has done. Tell it to your children, and children will be telling it. God will use us to go all throughout the universe, telling planets and beings that never fell about what God had done in our behalf. And the troublesome times that we went through. And they will ask, what was it like to live in last days of Earth's history with the persecution and the trials and all the problems that were taking place in the world, the famine, flood, wars, rumors of wars. And we'll look around us and we'll see the tree of life producing its fruit. We'll see the river of life. We'll see the new Jerusalem. See the flowers and the trees and the beauty all around us. We'll see Yeshua standing there in all of his glory. And we'll turn to them and say, I don't remember. You know, it seemed like just a moment it passed so quickly in comparison to the glories all around us. So let's look at some of the things that they went through as a foreshadow of what we have coming upon us. Verse 4, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust ate. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust ate. What the crawling locust left, the consuming locust ate. Awake, you drunkards, weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. So if there's no new wine, there's not going to be any old fermented wine either. They're telling the drunkards, get ready to cry, get ready to weep, get ready to wail, because your addiction is going to get cut off. It's not going to be there. It's just going to be desolate. There's going to be famines. There's going to be calamities. There's going to be pestilence taking place in the world, which will cut off one after another, almost like the book of Job. One thing after another that will destroy the crops, and there'll be a shortage of food. And for us, We haven't experienced ever, most of us living here today, most of us here tonight have never experienced a time without food, grocery stores without food, choices and choices and choices, and brands upon brands. Everything eaten up and gone. Verse 6, a nation has come up against my land, strong and numberless, his teeth like a lion, and he has fangs like a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white, lament like the virgin girded with sackcloth for her husband. And so there'll be widows, there'll be war, army coming in strong and numberless like a lion. And that might be a reference to Babylon. Daniel refers to Babylon being like a lion. And so there'll be death and sorrow and grief beyond number and beyond comprehension. And wars taking place which bring about more economic hardships and more food shortages and more pain and more suffering and more death, as well as diseases and other multiple problems. Verse 9, the grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The Kohanim mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up, the oil fails. So the drunkards are mourning, the Kohanim are mourning, the land itself is mourning. It's been ruined. And the people who minister for the Lord, their hearts are breaking. And they're mourning as well. Verse 11, be ashamed, farmers, wail, vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, for the harvest has perished. The vine has dried up, the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. So the farmers also, wailing, weeping, crying, lamenting. Now economic crisis. No food and no trees and no harvest. And thus the economy falls out and people now have no finances to go forth to buy anything if there was anything to buy. Hard for us to imagine in this country where homeless people have more than most people in the world have. Verse 13, gird yourselves and lament, you Kohanim. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come and lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withered from the house of your God. And so no offerings. Again, economic crisis. So it's affecting everyone, the drunkards and the farmers. And God's work. Now is the time to work while it is day, for night is coming when no one will be able to work. We store up and store up and store up, and moths and rust will eat it away. And God's work languishes, and people are dying every day without a knowledge of the Lord. And then nighttime will come, and we won't be able to work. There won't be finances to be able to send out. There won't be gas to buy, to travel and minister, won't be able to continue to print and reprint, and even the internet costs money. And God's work will be hindered. Now is the time to get the message out. While we have opportunity, while we have freedoms, they will cut down our freedoms and limit our ability to spread the gospel. Now is the time to spread God's word. You know, my work, unfortunately, sometimes I sit with people who are towards the end of their life. And, you know, when we get to that stage and we think about it, really everything here is meaningless. You know, when we get to that point, it doesn't really matter. The clothes don't matter. The color paint on the house doesn't matter. The furniture doesn't matter. Type of car doesn't matter. The entertainment, the empty, meaningless movies, shows, it's all frivolous. All the sports and emptiness of that, it all dries up. It doesn't have any value for eternity. When we only have a few moments, weeks, months to live, what is most important at that time in our lives? Again, all the other stuff just doesn't compare. There's only one thing better than going to heaven: taking someone with us. And that's going to be the test. That's what's going to be asked at the pearly gates. Are there any sins on your record? Let's open the books and let us see. And who have you brought with you? Who have you invited? Who have you told about heaven? Who have you told about God's matchless love? Who have you told about the forgiveness that is pre-offered to the world? Who have we warned? Who have we prepared? Who will be in heaven because of our lives? That's all that matters. And now is the time. Now is the time to work. Now is the time to get the message out. Now is the time to put bumper stickers on your car. Now is the time to get a t-shirt and wear it to go walk around a mall somewhere, right? If you don't have a voice and you're afraid to speak, just get a godly t-shirt and walk around some store or something, right? You know, and start advertising somehow, right? Driving down the road just 2 days ago, and a guy was out on a corner, you know, with a sign, God something, you know, and that's Greg. Give him a thumbs up, you know. Get the message out there. Right? Got time, we got means. Again, just driving down the road, get a magnet, get a bumper sticker. We got some stuff from the foyer. Take some literature, pass it out. I use the internet. People really don't care what you ate for breakfast. Let me just tell you that, right? You can post where you are. We're at such and such a restaurant. No one cares you're at such and such. We're at this gym. I don't care you're at a gym, you know? Maybe post that you're at services, right? Tell you, I'm at Beth El Shalom right now, you know? Get that message out, you know? But every day, post a Bible text and send that. You might not get a whole lot of likes, but tough luck on them, right? Get the message out. That's what counts. That's what's important, right? On Judgment Day, God looks at all your texts, all your posts, and all your stuff. How much of it's just going to be thrown away? How much of it is God going to say, this was meaningless, why'd you waste time on this? And how much of it is God going to say, this touched this person? This was one more little seed that influenced this person in your life, this friend of yours, this person. That's what counts. Now is the day. Now is the time. Babylon came through, destroyed everything. Babylon's on its march, and it's raising its head. It's going to fall eventually, but it's going to do a lot of damage before. Verse 14, consecrate a fast. This is God's solution. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Babylon's going to destroy a lot, and then God's going to destroy the rest. He's going to destroy it all. Your car is going to burn up. The house is going to burn up. The boat is going to burn up. All the junk is going to burn up. all going to melt with fervent heat. It's all going to be laid waste. The only thing that'll count was what was being used to further God's cause, so that more people will be in heaven. And we see here already this analogy for these last days, for this time period, this high holy days. We saw last week, Rosh Hashanah, blow the trumpet in Zion, blow the trumpet in Zion, right? And here, consecrate a fast. Well, Yom Kippur is a fast. It's a well-known fast day, the fast. Cry out, get warning, warning, warning. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It's very close, only a few days away. You can touch it, reach out your hand and grab a hold of it. It's at hand. It's here for us. The day of the Lord is very close, and much closer than I think we can even imagine. Really, everything is in place. Everything is set up to take all the buildings down. Right? One push of a button, and it'll all come together, and it'll just trigger one after another. Everything's there for it to all collapse. You can wake up one morning and everything be in total chaos. But God will step in and have the final judgment. They will persecute, they will try to silence. They will imprison God's people. History will repeat itself time and time again. There will be martyrs. But in the end, God has the last say. Judgment day will come, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The towers that they can build to themselves, the monuments and the piles of wealth and control and manipulation, dominance, God will show who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Destruction will come. And that's what the Yom Kippur, the final judgment day, is about. And so now is the time to be consecrating a fast. Now is the time for calling a sacred assembly. Now is the time for us to gather together, gather together, gather together. Press closer and closer together. Pressing closer with God's people. And yet still witnessing to the world. Not becoming a clique, not isolating, but strengthening one another so that the rest of the week we can go and shine as lights in the dark firmament for God. And illuminate the path to heaven. To point people to Yeshua and his death, burial, and resurrection. Cry out to the Lord. Verse 16, the food is cut off from your eyes, joy and gladness from the house of God. The seed shrivels in the dirt, storehouses are shambles, barns are broken down, for the grain has withered, the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless, for they have no pasture, even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. Even the animals are crying. That's bad. Right? That's good. And it will be. Even right now, there's been, I think, over 100 fires, mysterious fires, breaking out in food plants all around the world. Fire. Not a food plant. Hundreds. And gasoline refineries and various other areas. So many in such a short period of time. Almost seems coordinated. Food is cut off from your eyes. Energy, resources cut off. The day of the Lord is coming, and who will be able to stand? Even the wicked are going to run for the rocks and the hills and cry, fall on us and hide us from the face, the wrath of the Lamb. Destruction of the Lord is coming. It'll be troublesome time before now and then, between now and then. But God will see us through. Even if we die, God has us in his hand for eternity. And that's what counts. It's living for him, not yielding, not folding, not falling, not compromising, holding fast to the word of God. Consecrating a fast, not just not eating food, but surrendering of all. That's what it means to fast. To die to self. To live for God. Verse 19, the Lord, to you I cry out. For the fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. It's utter destruction, economic, war, famine, food shortages, want, death, grieving, widows. It's time of awe. It's time period that we're going to go through. They went through, we will go through. History will repeat itself. But as God restored us, God will restore and create a new heavens and a new earth. And that's all that'll matter. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep your eyes on Yeshua. Look full in his wonderful face. That's all that matters. Seek him out. Consecrate the fast on a daily basis, not necessarily again from food, but more and more. Put aside the things of this world. No U-Haul will follow a hearse. Can't take it with us. There'll be no pyramid filled with stuff for you. Let go of the things of this world so you have more ability to cling and hold on to God. And so that was chapter 1 of Joel. We looked a little bit at chapter 2. We'll look some more at chapter 2 another time, and chapter 3. And we'll look at some other parts of the Bible. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Right.
It's kind of interesting. Kind of just the opposite of what the feel-gooders tell us, what the self-esteemers tell us, right? Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to gloom. Does that sound like, don't worry, be happy? Is that what that sounds like? This is the opposite. The laughter and the foolishness turn to mourning. Yeah, joy to gloom. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Serious times we're living in. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Who's he talking to? Yeah, James wasn't talking to the world. He didn't write that for the world. He wrote that for us. He's talking to us. He said, well, I'm not so bad. You're not so bad. What are you talking about? I'm a sinner. I'm double-minded. Well, you were born, weren't you? That's when it started. We were born in sin. Right from the moment, even before that. We were just sucking the lifeblood out of our mother then. Then after birth, cry in the middle of the night, wake him up, selfish as could be. No care for anybody else. Yeah, kicking, all kinds of stuff, right? Causing troubles throughout our lives. Pulling other kids' hair, cheating, lying. We grew up as sinners. I'm talking today, right? We're still doing that stuff, right? We're still crying and kicking and moaning. We're still annoying each other. We're still selfish. We're still keeping people up at night. Still taking. We are sinners. Cleanse your hands, purify your heart. Lament, mourn, weep, right? It sounds like Joel chapter 1. Lament, cry, weep, mourn. So how do we do that? How do we cleanse our hands? How do we purify our hearts? By praying more? By reading the Bible more? By attending services more often? By doing more for God? By being good? By avoiding sin? By giving more? No, 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 no. None of those things. Not one of them. That's not how you purify your hands. That's not how you purify your heart. That's not how you cleanse your hands. That won't do you any good. That's works. It'll make you more filthy than ever before. Make you think you're righteous. Revelation talks about the last congregation, Laodicea, the last one representing the last days of Earth's history, the last period of Earth's history. Rich and increased with good. And yet poor, blind, miserable, and naked. And worse off, and knoweth it not. That's us. We think we're okay. Think we're okay spiritually. We think we're okay financially and physically and emotionally and mentally. We compare ourselves with others. We compare ourselves with how we were. And we think we're okay. The Bible says those who do that, compare ourselves with others and compare ourselves with ourselves, are not wise. Compare ourselves with Yeshua. He's our comparison. So how do we cleanse our hands and purify our hearts?
Christ, in fact, acknowledge that
He died. That's the only way. Through death. This is death. This is the only way to have a new heart. The old heart has to be taken out. The whole heart is corrupted. It's horrible. It's filthy. It stinks. And how do you get rid of your heart? You can't. Only God can do open heart surgery. And so you just lay down on the table, let Him put you to sleep, and let Him take out that old heart, and let Him put a new heart in. It's His work. It's what He does, not what we do. By surrendering, by humbling yourself, by consecrating a fast. No eating, die. I die to self, just death. Acknowledging, Lord, I can do nothing. Without You, I can do nothing. Lord, all I am is fully just sin. Full through and through. Nothing good in me, no good in me. Crucify this self, crucify me. I accept my death with Him, with Yeshua. I accept my death in Him. Bury me away with Him. And resurrect a new heart and a new life in me. Holy Spirit, come into me and live Your life out of this flesh. Your hands purify. You do the work through me and in me and out of me. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll want to pray. It'll just be natural. We'll want to read the Bible. We'll want to go to services. We'll want to tell other people about the Lord. We'll want to give to God's cause. It'll just be natural. It'll just come forth because it's the Holy Spirit working in us and out of us. His laws and His ways are not grievous. They come forth joyfully with the first love experience, giving with God's mind, God's heart, for God so loved the world He gave. And it will come forth out of that new, renewed heart. It needs to be renewed day by day. We need to die daily. Right? When a person's born, when they're coming out of their mother, right? What position are they in? They're crunched down in a prayer position, right? They're all crunched down. And they don't come out feet first. if it's good, right? You're not supposed to come out feet first standing and running. No. We come out head first, right? Down flat on our face. What do you need to do? Just get before God, just down. Helpless before Him. Down in prayer. Flat on our face before the Lord. Lay low. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Lay low. The lower you become, the higher He can lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Not lifting yourself up. Our job is to lower ourselves. Not pretending, just acknowledging. I'm the chief of sinners, the lowest of the low, created in sin, created carnally. All the righteousness, nothing but filthy rags. Lay down before the Lord and accept our death in Him. And allow Him to lift us up with new minds, new hearts, writing His law into our hearts and minds. Him empowering us, Him compelling us, and moving us forward. Him grabbing a hold of our hands and our feet and moving us forward as His army for Him. That's the key. John chapter 16, verse 20. You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, in context, Yeshua is talking to His disciples just before His death, and He's saying, you know, you're going to be sorrowful for 3 days, and the world is going to be happy and rejoicing, but your sorrow will be turned into a joy. But it's also prophetic for our days as well. A woman, when she's in labor and has sorrow because of her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And again, that applied to the disciples. But also to us. Right? We'll sorrow, we sorrow now. We are going to sorrow like we can't believe. Physical and mental and emotional, even a spiritual struggle, the devil is just going to pour out upon us. And all the evil angels bringing up every sin to our mind that we've ever committed and harassing us and telling us God has forsaken us. Just as He did to Yeshua in the wilderness. We'll hold on by faith. Yes, I've done lots of wrong, but the blood of Yeshua has cleansed me of all unrighteousness. His blood is mighty to save. Where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded. And in the name of the Lord and the power of the Lord, get behind me, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You have no right here. And we will see Him again. We will see Him coming on the clouds. And the dead in Messiah will rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him to meet the Lord in the air on the ultimate Yom Kippur at the last trump. And He'll take us to the mansions He's preparing for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Him. For in His Father's house are many mansions, and He goes to prepare us so that where He is, we will be also. And He will take us to be with Him, and He will bring destruction upon this earth, and He'll lay it waste, burn it all up, and destroy it all. Everything melted with fervent heat, gone and consumed. So that He can create the new heavens and the new earth and bring in the everlasting Sukkot. Your hearts will rejoice, and no joy will anyone ever take from you. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And for eternity. And again, the things of this earth, we'll forget it all. All the troubles and all the sorrows will be nothing. Everything that we've gone through is nothing compared to what God has in store for us. And the suffering that he has allowed us to go through, if it's led us to this point, if it's led us to this day, if it's led us to read his word, if it's led us to hear this message, then praise God. Because without those trials, without those circumstances, maybe we wouldn't be here. Maybe we'd be out doing something else without the Lord. And so everything, every moment of every day, God has been guiding and directing, not bringing calamities, but allowing calamities so that he can work it out together for good. And like that mother who forgets, she's in child labor, she's giving ready to get birth, and she's in anguish. But after the child's born, forgets it all. You ever been in a situation, right? Mother's about to give birth and cursing out the husband, right? Cursing out the father. I'm never going to talk to you again. It's all your fault. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I'm never going to have another child again. No, no. Get me out of here. And then they have a second child and a third child and a, How'd that happen? Because they forget, right? The joy of the human being being born into the world, they remember no longer the anguish. Right? And that's what it'll be like. Right? We're going to go through a time, but don't worry, it's going to pass. We've gone through some times already, and some more than others, but it's all going to pass. And in eternity, we'll forget it all. It won't even matter. Might as well forget it now, too, because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It matters that you're here today. It matters that God loves you. It matters that he has a plan for you. It matters that he's preparing a mansion for you. That he's preparing eternity for you. Streets of gold, tree of life, river of life, and most importantly of all, we will be with him. We will be with him. Yes. And we will be with those who he brings, that he uses us to bring with us. Yes. That's what matters. That's what will be important. And that's what's important now. That's what should be important now. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? Yes, there's weeping now. Yes, there's sorrow now. We ain't seen nothing yet. But joy will come in the morning. In the morning. And the little trials that we've been through are all helping to prepare us. If we allow them to, if we learn from them, if we learn to forgive by God's grace, if we learn to overcome, if we learn to move on, we learn to move past. We learn to apologize and confess our wrongs that we've committed against others. It'll all prepare us to go through the last days. So the joy will come in the morning. You know, and in English, morning and mourning, right? Spelled differently, but and have different meanings, but it's also joy comes through mourning. Joy will come in the morning, but it's through the morning that it comes, right? We've talked about this before, but here again, in these high holy days, we see God's pattern of the mourning coming first, right? The sorrow coming first, the repentance coming first, the Rosh Hashanah, the Teshuvah, the turning from sins, the fasting, the afflicting a soul, the confessions, and the making it right with God and making it right with man, right? Jacob was called Israel. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you've overcome with God and with man. And it's through this process And then comes Sukkot, then comes rejoicing, then comes the joy of the Lord. And the world does it backwards. The world, you know, parties all night and then sorrows in the morning. You know, they wake up, where am I? Where is this? Where's my car? Where's my keys? Then when we find out what we did the night before, then we're really sorrowful. But God's pattern is the opposite. Sorrow first. Repent first. Be cleansed first. And then joy comes in the morning. And through the morning, joy will come. Through the sorrows. It's through Yeshua and Yeshua, drawing close to Him. Drawing nearer and nearer to Him. Nearer and nearer to His blessed, bleeding side. It's the only way to get near to Him. Oh, not in His white robe. Not with His clean hands. The only way to get near to Him is draw near to His bleeding side. To His scars. To His suffering. To the whips, to the piercings, the bruisings, the beatings, the crown of thorns, the mockings, being derided, being spit on. That's how to draw close to Him. And when the world does that to us, when people do that to us, when we do it to ourselves, foolishly, we've hurt ourselves and hurt others. And we turn in repentance, we draw near to God. Through experiencing the sufferings of this world, we come closer to knowing God and His suffering on our behalf and what He has gone through for us. And none of us have been afflicted as hard as He is, was, and is. None of us. No one in this room or on this planet ever suffered the suffering that He suffered for us. But He allows us in His mercy and love for us to enter in and give us a little glimpse of what He has suffered when He allows us to suffer, when He allows us to mourn, when He allows us to experience loss, when He allows us to be rejected and hurt, and abandoned, and misused and abused. Come close to His pleading side. And through it all, He's there. Through it all, He's there with us. Through it all, when we suffer, He suffers. And He suffers even more so than we ever could. When we're suffering, He hurts more. It breaks His heart more. And it's through entering into suffering with Him that we will enter into joy with Him. We'll enter into the resurrection with Him, the new life with Him, and the everlasting life with Him. Resurrected to a new life every day. Resurrected to a new mind every day. The power to forgive. The power to change. The power to repent, the power to be reformed, the power to be transformed by His Spirit. The mighty works of God lived out in us. The ability to rejoice in the Lord always, even if we're in a dungeon. Even when rats and mice are crawling over us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And singing praises even if we're chained to a dungeon cell. Cold, damp wall. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the power of the Lord. That's the power of redemption. That's the manifestation of His grace in our lives. And that's only possible by coming to Him, surrendering to Him, humbling before Him, humbling ourselves before Him, allowing Him to lift us up, lift us up into heavenly places with Him, allowing Him to sit us at His throne. co-heirs with him, sitting together with him. The heavenly realms. Now and for eternity. Now mentally and spiritually. And then physically for eternity. Passing through this time of Yom Kippur that gets us to Sukkot. So it starts with wailing, weeping, lamenting, crying, sorrowful, then rejoicing. And so as a moment, in a moment as we pray, prepare to pray, there's some area in your life, maybe some past grief, some sin you committed, surrender it to the Lord. During these 10 days, during these last days, during the last days of your life on this earth, during the last days of Earth's history, repent of these sins. God's opened the book. Allow him to reveal to you everything and anything, any wrong that you've done. Let him cleanse your heart, you sinners. Purify your hands. Let him work in our hearts and minds. Secondly, God has reminded you of someone you need to forgive. By his grace, accept his power to forgive. And as we've said many times before, forgiveness is not saying it's okay. Forgiveness is not giving them a license to do it again. Forgiveness is saying it was wrong and you're never going to let them do it again, to you or to anyone else. But at the same time, you're not going to get bitter or angry or resentful about it. You're not going to be depressed and you're not going to seek their harm just for the sake of harm. Judgment, yes. Justice, yes. But not vengeance. And so if God's bringing someone to your mind who you need to forgive, lament, mourn, weep, and give it over to the Lord. And accept his power to forgive. And then let them know. Anyone you need to apologize to, let them know. Does anyone you need to forgive, let them know. That doesn't mean you need to get in harm's way again. Right? It might have to be through a letter in the mail. Right? But with no return address on it, maybe, and that's fine too. But, you know, don't get in harm's way, right? Be safe. But forgive. Have your record clean between God and man. Be Israel. Be overcomers. Prevailers with God. And third, if there's someone that God's bringing to your mind who doesn't know the Lord, we have a short time left. Maybe God's giving a specific person to your mind, maybe a name, maybe a face is coming to your mind, someone who doesn't know the Lord, who needs to know the Lord. In a moment we pray, lift them up before the Lord. And ask the Lord, Lord, how can I reach them? Lord, save them. Maybe it's not a specific person. Maybe it's just the masses. Maybe it's an area. Maybe it's a people group. Maybe it's just the world. Lord, how can you use me? And again, maybe the Lord will show you, get a bumper sticker, get a t-shirt, whatever, a hat, something, you know. Go pass out some flyers. Go put them on some car windows or something. And God's impressing you with a ministry that he's calling you to. Maybe you're doing some. Maybe you're doing three of the talents and he's giving you five. God's impressing you some other area, some other thing. In a moment when we pray, ask him to give you the power and the grace to go forward and do it, for him to go before you and make it successful. And so let us turn our hearts to the Lord. If there's anything on your record book, let it be cleansed. Let it be washed clean. And live for him. Let us pray. If there's anything you're holding, anything that God's revealing that's not going to mean anything in eternity, that he's asking you to give up now, Anything he's asking you to surrender. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to tell you what that is because I don't know what it is in your life. I know I prayed this with some people, and after the prayer, they say, "You're saying I have to." I didn't say anything. I said, "Lord, is there anything in this person's life?" You know, so if God impresses your mind and heart, then praise God, you're hearing him, right? So there's something in your life that he's calling you to forsake, that is meaningless for eternity, and he wants to use that time, that money, that talent in building up his kingdom and bringing people to the Lord. Let's give ourselves to him. Consecrate a fast. Humble ourselves. Say, "Lord, here I am. Use me. Use the stuff you've placed in my hands. Use the finances you've given to me. Use the talents you've given me. Use my hands. Use my heart. Give me your heart. And love people through me." So if any of those areas apply to you, let us pray and let God do his mighty work. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love. Thank you for warning us. Thank you for giving us ample time. Thank you for this time of Rosh Hashanah and time of awe, both in this year and in this world's history. Thank you for giving us time to repent. Holy Spirit, bring conviction upon us. Open our books, reveal anything that needs to be changed in there, anything that needs to be blotted out. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming in our hearts and minds. Thank you for gifting us with your talents. Thank you for blessing us with resources. Lord, and use us feeble people for your honor and glory. Use us as your instruments. Win people for your kingdom. Give us the gift of forgiveness. Give us the gift of repentance. Give us the gift of confession. Work in us and through us. Cleanse our hands. Purify our hearts. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.